India unleashes more support for its coronavirus-ravaged economy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. India's finance minister today outlined fresh economic stimulus, including a 50% expansion in an emergency credit program for the health and tourism sectors. Critics, though, say the new measures don't go far enough. Rather than loan programs, they'd like to see direct support extended to industries and regions hit hardest by the pandemic. The BBC's Arunade Mukherjee explains how rural India, where 70% of the population resides, is dealing with the mounting costs of the health crisis.
Sanjay Patil, a farmer from a rural part in the state of Maharashtra, drives his tractor while working the fields. It's the only time he dares to leave his home. COVID-19 has ravaged his village. More deaths have been reported in rural Nashik where he lives compared to urban areas.
We're scared if we go out and fall sick. Getting medical treatment will cost us a lot, and we're using everything sparingly so as to avoid going out.
The drop in demand in rural India and the recent regional lockdowns hit fast-moving consumer goods distributors like Arun Daga. It was one of the few sectors that weathered the COVID-19 storm last year, but this year has been different, he says.
If we got an order on Friday, we had to hold the delivery till Monday because there was a complete strict lockdown during the weekends. Our business is down by 25% compared to the last lockdown.
The rural economy contributes between 25-30% to India's GDP. In May, the rural unemployment rate doubled to 14% in 1 week as informal workers left cities and returned to the countryside. As the second wave abates and the economy gradually opens up again, there is scope for some recovery. Experts are optimistic that timely monsoons could help revive the agricultural sector and offset some of the losses.
The second lockdown also had its bearing on revenue collection.
But the government needs to play a bigger role, says economist Yuvika Singhal.
Construction would be the critical factors as to how quickly the rural economy can bounce back. There is a fair degree of support that the government can offer. Construction of roadways or highways, pumping in money as far as NREGA workforce is concerned.
Despite 2/3 of the population living in rural India, 12% more doses have been administered in urban areas than in villages. And recovery can only happen when rural India is vaccinated and can get back to work. I'm the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee for Marketplace.
Checking the numbers now, European shares are slightly higher this morning, though stocks across Asia ended down in the 1% range. That's amid fresh worries over the new COVID-19 Delta variant. Continuing our deep dive into the City of London's post-Brexit future, today we're zeroing in on the London Stock Exchange. Before Britain's divorce from the European Union, many feared disruptions in financial markets if both sides failed to agree so-called equivalence regimes. That would have meant the UK and Europe would recognize each other's regulations and therefore allow continued access to financial markets. But a blanket agreement never happened. Neither did the volatility. Dr. Robert Barnes is head of securities trading at the LSE. He also runs the group's new European trading platform called Turquoise. He explains why things have so far gone so smoothly.
As a community, always working very closely with the authorities and understanding what was coming, we've really been working for the past 3 years to make sure that we'd be able to provide continuity of service. If you take a look at UK listings, it's been the best start to a year since 2014, even post-Brexit.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about the need for agreements between the UK and Europe to keep the ability to do seamless transactions and business across the financial services industry. We haven't seen many of those equivalence deals. Are you saying that perhaps maybe that really isn't necessary because as a financial services company, you can sort of do that on your own? You don't need governments to agree it.
Well, if you think about capital raising and underwriting, that's a business that can happen kind of globally, worldwide. In terms of providing continuity of service to trade the international securities, the European securities, we launched Turquoise Europe, which is regulated within continental Europe. So it's possible, for example, to trade not just, say, UK Rolls-Royce on Turquoise and settle in the UK, but from the UK, you're able to trade BMW, German securities, and settle them in Germany.
In February, shares of Swiss companies began trading in London after an 18-month hiatus. Do you think this is all sort of a signal that London can stand on its own two feet?
Well, listen, I think this is a great example of how financial centers that work together can thrive. In fact, immediately post-Brexit, by the 3rd of February, for the 4th of February go-live, we had readmitted more than 200 Swiss symbols. The very next day, these Swiss securities became amongst our most liquid securities active in those additional channels.
So where are you looking to attract more business? So companies looking to list, banks and investors looking to trade on LSE platforms.
We clearly see an increasing interest from those countries that are growing very rapidly in regions like Asia. And London Stock Exchange, you may be aware, has a very successful partnership with the Shanghai Stock Exchange.
So do you think it's important to look beyond Europe, or do you think that will still be an important part of your business post-Brexit?
Well, UK and Europe are very significant together as a region for capital markets and will continue to be very significant.
Dr. Robert Barnes, Head of Trading Securities at the London Stock Exchange. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Well, if you missed any part of this week's coverage on the future of the City of London post-Brexit, click on the London Unbound tab at the top of marketplace.org. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.